Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Yeah. What's up, y'all? This is Tanner from Stone Rider, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Before we get started, guys, the next episode of Talking Metal Live will be August 19th. That's a Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time. So, again, 7 p.m. is when things get started on August 19th for Talking Metal Live. And remember, you can always tune in to TalkingMetalLive.com and listen to the last show. If you miss the live broadcast anytime, you can tune into TalkingMetalLive.com to hear the last show streaming. And of course, there's a lot of exclusive content on that stream that doesn't make it into the podcast. So definitely give it a listen and have some fun. TalkingMetalLive.com. All right, here's the podcast.
Broadcasting around the world, around the world, around the world, from Jersey City, New Jersey. This is the Talking Metal Podcast. Here are your hosts, Mark Striegel and John Astronomy.
Hey, this is Mark Striegel, along with John Astronomy, here at the Sands Bar in Jersey City. It is a hot day in July, but the breeze is actually pretty nice coming off the bay here.
We've got a great view of the New York City skyline, Statue of Liberty. We've got some great food, and we get some great views of some of the bartenders here.
Yes, and waitresses. Anyways, Matt Tanner is the guest on today's show. Stone Rider is his band, a great band. We actually hyped them on the Talking Metal on Fuse show. I highly recommend you guys go buy the Three Legs of Trouble CD by Stone Rider. And Matt is going to tell us what he thinks about their latest music video.
We found out during this interview that a video that we liked, maybe the band wasn't quite in sync with their producers at that point.
Matt will tell us all about that in just a little bit. Matt Tanner. Anyways, Grand Magus. The album is Iron Will, and the song we're going to hear right now is Like the Oar Strikes the Water. It's the opening cut on Iron Will. I really dig these guys, and you guys should definitely check them out. Check today's show notes. Use the links to open up your iTunes and purchase their music. That always helps us out. And once you've used those links, by the way, buy whatever you want, because any purchase you make, even if it's not a song we've played on the podcast, we still get, I think, 3 cents back. I think Z-Man always uses those links, so we appreciate that, Z-Man. And let's check it out. Grand Magus.
Turning your finger, your time is here. A congregation on a massive scale.
was Like the Oar Strikes the Water by Grand Magus.
Let's get into this interview. This is Matt Tanner from Stone Rider, and we'll wrap up today's show with a little music from Stone Rider, a great band. And the album, once again, is called Three Legs of Trouble. Here's Matt Tanner, Mark Striegel, and John Astronomy.
Hello, Tanner.
Yo.
Hey, it's
Yo,
Mark, man. From Talking Metal, and John from Talking Metal. How you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good. Thanks so much for calling in to Talking Metal.
I'm a few minutes late, dude. My drummer gave me the wrong number, so.
No problem, man.
So, hey, Tanner, man, I really love your stuff, and Mark discovered you guys, we featured you on Talking Metal on Fuse, and when he turned me on to you, I was really enlightened and kind of psyched, because when I get bummed out about the state of music and think that there's nothing I'm ever going to like, when I heard your stuff and the great Southern rock and roll influence, it honestly made me want to try to organize a rock and roll gig where I'm playing guitar and drums. So that's what you guys did to me.
Right on, man. That's about as good as it gets, you know. I think we're kind of in the same boat talking about, you know, new music and shit. I mean, I don't really hear much going on nowadays that gets me too psyched, you know.
It's true, and I think that one of the things that means a lot to you is that you want to educate young kids about all the great history in music, Zeppelin, The Who, and just what's sad is that a lot of people don't even know about these bands anymore.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of maybe associate that with, like, their dad's music or, like, I don't know. I don't know what they associate it with, but, you know, it's kind of, I think if they just, like, open up their ears a little bit, they'll kind of find out where a lot of the stuff came from, you know, like why a lot of bands came out and are doing, not necessarily nowadays, but I don't know. It's, it doesn't really get better than those bands, so.
Well, good for you guys for educating people about all this great history in music.
Now, we all kind of, like, grew up on it, too, so, you know, it's kind of like, it's kind of our way of just, you know, putting our twist on it, you know, it's similar, very similar style, you know, it's, everything's been done before, but, you know, we're just trying to show what we were brought up on and what we really dig, you know.
Cool, man. Now, how long have you guys been together as a band, and how did you come together as a band?
Stone Rider has been going for, like, a year and a half now, almost 2 years. We were all in a band together before, and we were called Fight Paris before, and went through not really a lineup change, kind of subtracted a member, and just completely changed up the style, you know, realized what was up, what we wanted to do.
And is that why you changed the name to Stone Rider?
Yeah, you know, it was like, that was actually the last thing to go, was the name. That was like while we were in the studio recording Three Legs of Trouble. And, you know, it was just kind of like, fuck, man, it's completely different. Everything, like, why not just start fresh, you know? But that's what we did. We just pretty much started over, you know, hoping, you know, not necessarily counting on fans of our previous band to, like, come along, but it kind of felt like those that dug it and got it were the ones that were cool to come along. You know, if you don't dig it, whatever, that's your bag. But, you know, we were going to go on and do what we wanted to do regardless, so.
Cool. Now, one of the differences between Fight Paris and Stone Rider is that you guys slowed things up a bit, and you want the songs to feel the heaviness, as opposed to you're not out there trying to play, like, you know, super heavy metal so that people say, oh, okay, that's a metal song. You're playing what you want to do, but the songs are heavy no matter how fast they are.
Yeah, I mean, like, our slowest song we have, it's not on Three Legs of Trouble, but it's a straight-up 12-bar blues jam that we do. It's called Swingin' Blade, and it's really slow, but it's, like, probably the heaviest thing we've ever done.
It's great. I'll tell you, I wanted to ask you guys what your influences were, but I wondered, there's a band that I talk about constantly. Probably most people are sick of hearing me talk about them, but I love them. They're called Raging Slab, and I was wondering if you knew of that band. And if
What's
you,
the name?
Raging Slab?
Raging Slab. No, I've never heard of them.
You've got to check them out, man. You will be pleasantly surprised just about discovering some great
tunes. Are they
tunes.
Out right now?
No.
No, they're probably from the mid-90s, and I think we're, yeah, okay. we're like a... What's that guy, Brendan O'Brien?
Brendan O'Brien,
Rick
yeah,
Rubin,
he produced
I think,
them.
Was maybe
yeah, Rick
involved
Rubin
with
was
them
behind
for
them for a while. And I'll tell you, you know, just like when you kind of think there's not anything else cool to go listen to some old Raging Slab stuff. If you go on YouTube, and I just did this, just search Raging Slab, and you can see their professional videos that they did, and then you can see some live stuff. And I guarantee, like, please get in touch with us. Let me know what you think of them, because you'll be like, man, what a cool band that,
well, I'd be
you know,
thinking you.
What's that?
I'll be thanking you.
No, you'll just be saying it's cool that you got turned on to some new music that, you know, has been out there. And yeah. I think that you'll definitely be into it.
I'll most definitely do that, man, for sure. Raging Slab.
Yeah, very cool band.
Right on, dude.
And you guys have a fairly new video out, Juice Man, and I was watching it on the internet. And, I mean, throughout the video, you guys look like you're having so much fun, but I'd imagine making these videos is probably a lot of work, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of is. You know, you just go through the takes, but, you know, it's work. It's kind of fun at the same time, you know, but it is making a video. It's, that whole experience was rather strange. If I could go back, I definitely wouldn't do it again, because
no.
we had no idea what was going on, and because we were kind of kept out of the dark about the whole thing, unfortunately.
Are you unhappy with the way it turned out?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Darren didn't really, he wouldn't really take any of our concerns and thoughts into the whole thing, and I mean, really kind of, it sucks, but we really didn't have a say, actually, in the whole thing. You know, throughout the editing process, we would get, you know, edit one back, and it was completely, you know, we never said we wanted cars in our video or anything like that. It was supposed to be strictly performance.
Right.
And, you know, we get it back, and the first edit had just, like, cars and this drag race that, like, you know, we had no idea why it was there, you know. it really makes no sense with the song at all. And we were like, dude, you know, the shots look great. Just fucking show us, man. Show the band. That's what the point of the video was. It was a performance video, you know.
It's funny you mentioned the cars, because not to you know, criticize the video, but when I saw the cars, I kind of, at the very beginning of the video, I was like, wow, there's just so many videos that have cars in them, you know.
Right. Doesn't, like, you listen to the song, it's like,
the song is awesome. The
song's cool, man, but it doesn't have anything to do with fucking cars, you know. If we,
yeah,
done,
no.
if we were doing a video for, like, Rush Hour, you know,
right,
like, as, like, obvious, I guess, as that would be, to see a car in it, because it's, like, about the driving metaphor in that whole song, you know, I could understand that, but, like, he obviously didn't really get the, I mean, the chorus is on the top of the edge of the world, and it shows us in this, like, dingy warehouse, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Downstage in Burbank Studios, it's like, and then he spliced for the cars in, and stuff made no sense. It's like, dude, working with him, he was really cool and nice and everything, and seemed like he kind of got what was going on, but, you know, getting it back, it was just like, dude, I wish we'd have done this ourselves.
Well, next video, you guys definitely should do it your way. And
yeah.
I wanted to ask you, what was it like working with a guy who plays keyboard with the Eagles?
It's pretty cool, man. It's just funny. He talks about, yeah, me and Joe were doing this the other night, or a couple of weeks I'm leaving for tour with Joe. Da, da, da. He always talks about Joe Walsh, and it's like, dude, that's crazy, man. Like, he bros down with Joe Walsh, you know, like, Joe Walsh is a legend, a living music legend, you know. It's one of those.
It's amazing. Players. We should tell everybody, we're talking about producer Bill Appleberry, who
yeah.
plays keys with Joe Walsh from the Eagles, and he's worked with the Wallflowers and a bunch of great bands. And the best thing is that one of you guys said that he got you drunk in the studio.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of like an everyday kind of thing, you know.
That's good. I like that. There's a TV show on the channel that Talking Metal is on, Fuse, and it's called Rock and Roll Acid Test, and one of them says that they're wondering if it's true that musicians make better music while drunk than while not drunk. And what do you think about that?
I mean, I'd say yes and no. I mean, it depends on how you're, like, using it, you know what I mean?
Right.
Obviously, if you're just a drunk, I mean, you kind of come off sloppy after a while. It can feed, you know, inspiration. It can feed a mood and everything. I mean, it could also work against you. It's just kind of how, I guess, you are as a person.
I think that's a very healthy answer to that question, and you're a very smart answer to that question.
I wanted to ask you guys, are on a smaller label. It's not a major label. And do you feel that that is affected or makes it harder to maybe attract the attention of mainstream press? I mean, there's other bands, which I think you guys are actually better than, and I'm not going to name any names, but they seem to be getting more press than you, kind of doing a similar style of music. And without question, the material on your CD is much better. And I've just kind of been wondering why you guys don't get the press some of these other groups are getting.
It's all about the cheddar, man. Yeah. It's all about the cheddar, unfortunately. That's how this world and the business works. You know, being on an indie label that can put you at a disadvantage, depending on your sound, you know what I mean? I think our sound is, you know, we can't really hop on just like any scene, band tour, you know, that a lot of indie labels have this umbrella that they're used to, all the bands are used to touring together and doing the same sort of thing, you know what I mean? But it seems like we kind of have like a bigger sound than that. And, so, I mean, it can hurt us and it's also cool. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's, I think we kind of fall under a different category, though. You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have almost, in a way, more of a universal hard rock sound, you know, but that kind of limits you in some way. It's definitely.
It limits us if we're touring in a market that is very specific to a lot of things, you know what I mean? Like, and a lot of the scene bands that are kind of out, you know, there aren't like a lot of people doing straight up rock and roll, you know? So it would kind of be a weird pairing of sorts to put us out with, you know, some emo, screamo-ness. And
right.
It'd just be a weird pairing, you know? I mean, we blow bands like that out of the water, I know, but it's kids that are there to see that, you know, most of the time don't want to hear some blues and rock and roll, you know?
Yeah, they're not going to be open to it, yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of slowly changing. You know, we can only do our thing and do our best. And, you know, we seem to turn heads where we go. And
and the heads that are turning, are they mostly kids? Are they, like, more 20 and 30-somethings? Or is it hard to say?
You know, it's, like, it's both. You know, like, the Airborne tour, it was a lot of older crowds. You know, because that there was a lot of radio shows for that tour, and a lot of the radio stations that were championing Airborne were like classic rock stations and stuff, and so it was a lot of a good bit of older people at those shows. You know, they dug the shit out of it, but you know. It's different. I mean, we always win over younger fans too. There were a lot of kids at those shows. A lot of dads bringing their sons and young daughters. So it's really cool to have some like 7 and 8 year olds come up to you and be like, "We signed my album. You're awesome!" And like, wow.
Right.
It's really refreshing to see really young kids get into stuff like that. You know.
Cool. I wanted to ask you, what is the music scene like in Atlanta? I've been there once, and I know there's a lot of different stuff going on.
There is. You know, it's like hip-hop capital of the world, it seems, or has seemed for the past few years. I mean, as far as like rock and roll, you know, there's not a whole lot of rock and roll going on. There is. There's a lot of indie bands that are getting a lot of coverage right now, like the Black Lips and Snowden and some other. But I mean, that's definitely more of like kind of like a hipster kind of crowd, you know. So it's not
right.
necessarily in our vein of things, but you know, we're trying to meet up with other cats that are preaching the rock and roll message, you know, maybe in a slightly different way than us, but you know, they're doing that, and those are the folks we're trying to get up with.
What are the clubs like say a, you know, like a metal band is going to come through town? Where do they play in Atlanta?
Well, there's like, it's pretty cut and dry as far as like venues. I mean, you got the Masquerade, which is like a 1500 cap top room, and then it goes from that to the Tabernacle, which is the house of blues size. And then after the Tabernacle, it's like Gwinnett Arena, which is smaller, and it's Phillips Arena, which is like for, you know, 20,000 people or something. So, and then below all that are the, you know, the little, you know, 100 cap rooms. So I mean, there's definitely a lot of places for people to play, but there's not much variety, you know what I mean? A lot, the venue scene here, like the past 10 years, has gone through a lot of change, and a lot of them went out of business, and a lot of them, you know, just didn't make it. So, I don't know. It's cool.
Yeah, definitely. I just want to definitely check out the city the next time I'm through town and, you know, check out some of those places for sure.
Cool. Yeah, man, it's a cool town.
Well, Tanner, thanks so much for joining us.
Dude, thank you, man.
We'd love to get an ID from you saying your name, your band name, and you're listening to Talking Metal whenever you're ready.
Yeah. What's up, y'all? This is Tanner from Stone Rider, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Cool. And this is Mark and John from Talking Metal, and you are listening to Stone Rider. This is Juice Man. Have a good night. Take
Dude,
care, man.
Thanks for the love, man.
You bet.
Appreciate it, y'all.
Thank you.
Take it easy, man.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.